Okay, I'm now recording and I'll go ahead and call this shack meeting to order. Does everyone have a itinerary? Okay, so we don't have a whole lot going on the agenda this time, but I want to talk to you just a little bit. After this last meeting, I put a call out to counselors and said, hey, I really need some materials, you know, so that I could present the shack. And in my mind, I thought I was going to have 5, 6, 7, 8 items to do in this meeting. So I'm a little bit disappointed in the volume of stuff because, you know, this new state law is really requiring that we teach human trafficking and all of those things. And I want to make sure that counselors and everybody have the materials that they need to be able to follow the law. So I put out a second request today. So I guess what I'm asking you as a committee is, if we have to do a fast turnaround, we're scheduled for 4 meetings. But if I have to do a fast turnaround and maybe do another meeting before Christmas so we can see what they bring in, and then another quick meeting to vote on it, is everybody in general okay with that? I hate to just kill you by meetings.
Sure. I think so. Is there a possibility that, like, maybe the informational one without the vote could be maybe via Zoom? That would free up my availability.
Sure. I can certainly provide a Zoom link. And if that helps everybody, the informational one, that will work. So we can do that. So yes, let's do that. But I really do want to hustle up some more curriculum. And another thing, since our last meeting, I really kind of dove into our health teaks, the high school health teaks class. And a lot of these things are addressed in the health book.
Right.
So next time, I'm probably going to bring for approval. You know, you guys did that with the sex education. You approved the health book and the health teaks to be that curriculum. Well, there's a little bit of curriculum there on all of this stuff, so I would like to go ahead and run that by you guys so we can vote on that and teachers can have the health book, which makes sense because you guys approved that book during the adoption process. So it's being taught already. I just need another blessing on that book. So we'll probably do that next time. Before we get going here, it will probably help me tremendously to have an agenda too.
I doodled on mine.
I've got one here. So, that is kind of all the announcements that I have, is that we might have a few extra meetings. And then just a reminder that our minutes are being recorded via audio, and they're always posted on the internet after the meeting, so that will be there. So now we're kind of getting down to these votes. I think Jason Foundation, we don't have any more information to consider. It's just based on what we talked to them about last time in their presentation. One thing I like about Jason Foundation is the cost. It's free, you know? And to me, I looked the materials over and it looked pretty good. Is everybody ready to vote for Jason Foundation one way or another?
I'd like to find out more information. I haven't seen any videos. I don't really know what they're showing the students. So is there a possibility to table it until the next meeting? Can we have access to some of the videos? I thought they were going to send us some material.
So I'm open for a discussion on that, and I'll just say that if we table it, it's gonna wind up in that group of materials that we haven't gotten approved yet, and the staff really needs some materials on suicide prevention. So I don't know. Do we want to kind of make a vote here to see if you want to table it? And are you want to move forward? Any discussion?
Can you refresh our memory?
Yeah.
I'm trying to look at my notes.
Was he the guy that videoed in?
Zoom.
Yes.
Yes. Can you hit the highlights?
Well, basically, the highlights are there's 9 lessons that are about suicide prevention. And they're pretty straightforward. And if I'm going on memory, I think they were about 45 minutes a lesson. And of course, our folks can adapt those lessons. So it was really...
they had the app, too. That was really cool. Right?
They did.
You could kind of use, and like if you had concerns, or if you were just a student, maybe that was a little bit more sad. But it was like a really... I would vote... I mean, I kind of think we just move forward is my... On that.
I got the impression good they material just is gave everything too.
Yes.
Yeah. Was there and they had levels of like they had younger appropriate ones, mm-hmm. and they had some that were workplace ones, and you know I think more information when it comes to suicide awareness and the ability to use the app if wanted by from a teacher perspective too, I think is better than nothing.
I think it's always a good thing to have something. Yeah.
So and I just want to remind our folks that are here ad hoc. If you're a community member, or if you're a parent, or you're a teacher, you have the authority to vote. But if you're like me, you don't have the authority to vote. So on this, shall we just kind of show of hands? Do we want to move forward with Jason's foundation, or do we want more information? By a show of hands, who wants to move forward?
So we have. It looks like we have 8 votes to move forward.
And anyone against moving forward? Okay.
1.
Okay. So with that said, let's vote on Jason's. And I have some super fancy ballots here.
Do you want me to pass them down?
Do you mind? And then, if you would, after everybody's voted, just fold them so your vote can be confidential. And then I'm going to give them to our co-chair, and we'll canvass the votes right quick.
Can I just say something else?
Uh-huh, sure.
Okay. So you mentioned the app and everything. I think that's great. There's a lot of concern lately among parents about data tracking of students and what's being done with that data. Where it's being consolidated, whether or not it's being kept private, whether or not it's being sold for someone's profit, those types of things. So that's one of the concerns that I have here. When I looked at this program a few months ago, I was looking at it because another district was considering it, and so I was checking it out. They didn't have any of this stuff. They didn't have apps. They didn't have all those videos. It was really straightforward, and they actually operated with speakers coming in, which obviously personal presentations are very powerful, especially to young people. So I think those are some of the things to keep in mind when you're thinking about whether or not this would be appropriate for our students, and also whether or not parents would really want their child downloading an app without their knowledge, being tracked somehow, things like that. So just keep that in mind. That's another reason why I want more information about this. So. Thank you for considering my thoughts.
Oh, sorry. You didn't get a ballot?
No. Sorry. I skipped. How rude.
Yeah.
First impression.
Yes. Right?
We need an investigation.
We'll check these for shads and everything.
I just respond to that because I'm looking at their website right now and it says information is not, we will not give, sell, trade, share, or show any information provided to us by our visitors and clients to anyone outside of the Jason Foundation. You know, their site doesn't even use any cookies at all, or you know, those little trackers that you're talking about.
And he did say that too. He talked about that.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Well, the app was an optional type thing.
They don't,
it's not a mandatory.
Well,
pretty
and to
sure
me,
TikTok.
To me, any parent their child downloading an app, like there's other things that they can do as a parent to prevent that. I have that on my kids. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If a parent doesn't want their kids downloading any apps, they have the ability to monitor that.
That's a good point.
So, do you have a final vote? Oh, we're still trying to suppress your vote.
We're just waiting on you.
Okay.
Oh, you already picked him up? Oh, my gosh. What is going on?
And now,
yeah.
Thank you.
So
9-1 in favor.
Okay. So, so with that said, this will be one of the ones that I take before the board. Okay, so with that said, we'll move forward. After our meeting last time, Ms. Fuller had some questions for Youth Odyssey. So she forwarded those to me, and I forwarded them to Youth Odyssey, and I have those here. So I'll give you a little bit of time to look them over. Oh, yeah, thank you. I'll pass them out on this side. And we
get one first, thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to
try. I'm going to forget this time.
Do you have one in store?
Oh, I do, thank you so much.
Thank you. So, if you want to peruse these, and I'll just give everybody a little bit of time to read them, and we'll go from there. This is you.
Program overview as far as curriculum and goals and objectives, and then this is a sample parent letter.
Okay.
And then I'm also going to give them my login because I purchased the program myself to review. They can go in there and use my login and they can see what the videos look like. They can see how it's presented to the students and the format. It's
okay.
Pretty
self-explanatory. Okay. Awesome.
So, that's it.
Is this a test?
This reminds me of a silent read in the classroom. I could come over and use proximity. Well, you finish really quick, and you're like, what did I miss?
Yeah,
I can remember everybody else's door. So as we're wrapping up here, I'll open this up to any discussion. Anyone want to discuss anything about those questions or the program?
Oh, well, they do realize that the questions didn't necessarily reflect the whole, this board necessarily. They were directed from one individual, correct?
Correct. But I felt like since it was someone from this committee asking that it's fair to make sure you guys all have the same information.
I agree. I think it's, first of all, just having knowledge of Youth Odyssey from just a general community perspective. They do some really, really great things. I don't personally have any experience with them from a, like, knowledge of anyone that's had a troubled youth, that's been in a troubled youth program. But I have quite a few individuals that their children have attended their summer programs and have nothing but really, really fantastic things to say about the summer programs and the leadership skills and stuff that they get out of that. Plus, from a business standpoint, being involved from a business leadership perspective, they do great work. I think from a school perspective, the fact that they've been involved since 2002 with CCISD says a lot of things, and they wouldn't continue to have a contract and work with CCISD if there was problems, I think, you know, from that perspective.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the feedback. Anyone else?
If I remember correctly, when the gentleman was here speaking, he was asked about the curriculum that he would present, and we asked him if we would be able to view that curriculum before we would okay this. And I felt like the answer was a bit evasive. But before I would ever say yes to something like this, I would want to see the curriculum that is going to be presented or taught to these children. I think that is vital.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Is it really a curriculum, or is it, my understanding is that it's more like group activities to bring kids together and they're solving problems and stuff more than like a specific curriculum. Like, I've been to their ropes course with our church youth, and like it's like more adventure. Did I miss that part? Is there an actual curriculum that they're trying to teach you specific topics, or is it just team building activities that the kids all do together?
Well, I think I can answer that by telling you why it's on the agenda in the first place. I think the junior high wanted to take advantage of the ropes course,
right?
You know, and have groups come out there to do that. So that's basically why it is here and up for consideration. I don't have a problem with whatever the committee wants to do with this. If someone wants to entertain a motion to table it until we get more information, or if somebody wants to entertain a motion to move forward with a vote, however you guys want to do it.
But could there be certain parts that you adopt and others that you don't? Like the mentorship, mm-hmm. maybe no, but if mm-hmm. a club wanted to utilize ropes, is
sure.
that something?
Sure, and in that case, it would make sense to table it and ask them to come back, okay. if that's what the committee's thinking. I'm trying to keep the will of the committee being what guides us here, you know?
I would be in favor of that, but we're talking about certain aspects, like a rope course, and that's what brought this here. And sure. Unless I totally missed it, I did think that there was a curriculum that they had put together. And so for me, the answer would be no until I see a curriculum.
Okay. So I guess what we should do is follow Robert's Rules of Orders, and I'll entertain a motion.
So I'll make a motion that we table Youth Odyssey until we receive more information on curriculum.
Okay, in a second?
A second.
And of voting members, who votes to table until we have more information? Counting yourself, I think you have seven.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so we've confirmed the number, seven, so we're tabling that. If you would, anybody that's on the committee, drop me an email about what you kind of want to see, okay? And we'll try to get them out here the next time. I don't think it's a huge rush because I don't think, you know, kids are going to take advantage of that until the springtime anyway. So I know I don't think I'd be on the ropes course today. Mm-hmm. So that's that. Are we ready to move forward? I have Miss Cindy Holder with me, and her and I have been working together, maybe 100 years. and she is our SDGC director, which is, if you don't know, that's our Student Guidance and Discipline Center. Okay, and so she sees firsthand the impact that vaping is having on our community right now, and it is out of control. It's out of control. So we're really working hard, and we're holding kids really accountable. If they get caught vaping, they go to SDGC, and I think you might find that there might not be a school in the region who treats it quite that seriously, you know? But there's becoming more than tobacco in these vapes, you know? And it's a real issue. I never saw anything explode quite as bad. So I asked Cindy to take a look at this curriculum, and in great Cindy fashion, she did a great job and got an account for the curriculum, dove into the lessons, and et cetera. So I'm going to turn it over to Cindy, and I'll hand these items out. Yeah. You want me to hand all three of them?
Sure. And just let me tell you what we have here. The first handout, and I'll kind of just hit the highlights. It's just parent information that's, you know, on the website. I'm also giving you guys my login and my password to get into the program. I did purchase it for myself to review and Ms. Martinez as well, so that I could go see what the lessons were, see what, you know, how appropriate it would be for our students, ranging from intermediate level all the way to high school, because that's the students that we reach in our SDGC program. And I want to provide that to you so that you can see firsthand what the information is. And then I also made a copy of the objectives of the program itself, and then a sample parent letter from the organization. So just kind of an overview, give you some info there, but literally you're going to be able to go see firsthand the information by logging in as me. And, you know, going through, getting to look at how the information is presented. And I think, you know, that's going to be kind of a great insight on why we really like the program. I'll get into that in a second. I know it's a little dark on my password. Once you get there, I'm going to give it to you again so you can write it in a white space so that you can actually see it.
I think it's Jet Ski.
It's Jet Ski 2019 with the exclamation and it's capital J. So,
I was thinking about the lake. So I thought, what password can I use?
So, Jet Ski capital J 2019 exclamation. And that, the login information, when you go to that website, you just put in my email, cholder@barbaroschools.net. And then yes. The password is the Jet Ski 2019 exclamation. So, let me just tell you why I felt like the material would be appropriate for our students 5 through 12, grades 5 through 12. I like the fact that the lessons, there's four lessons, and they're geared where students are given factual information about the effects of the nicotine and what it does to your body. It's factual information. You know, it's scientific information about what this chemical does to your body. And I feel like our kids need to understand what they're doing to their body by using these vapes. Because there's a misconception from the get-go that when they're using these vapes that it's just water vapor. But there's way more to it than that. So I like the factual information that the program offers. It's short, to the point, but it's also interactive in the sense that as they go through the videos and the lessons, it gives them opportunities to think and think about, you know, this information. You know, what do you know about nicotine? What have you heard about nicotine? Those kind of things. So it's interactive in that you can have a discussion with the students as you're going through the curriculum and as you're going through the material. But it's short, to the point, and you know, you have to get them from the very get-go, small increments of information, so that, you know, you're not boring them to death, especially when you're dealing with the teenagers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have a lot of kids that are in our program that have been caught using vapes. Some of them have just been the nicotine vapes. Some of them have been the THC vapes, and that's even a greater concern with the nicotine vapes, and the fact that the cartridges for these vapes can be, you know, sabotaged, if you want to say that. That's the best word I can
call. You don't know what's in them, really.
You don't know what's in them. You don't know where they're buying them from. You don't know what people are doing to cut them and to make more money off of them and to also get these kids hooked. But it's becoming a problem in the sense that I see as an educator is that we're getting repeat offenders. I have had students that have had a vape incident, you know, five in 2 month period. So that's not only a hardship on the family because they have to go to court five times for a MIP ticket, but it's also concerning because that student is not, you know, curbing obviously our punishment is not getting to them. They're continuing to do this to their body. So it's a concern. We brought it to Mr. Crenshaw, myself, and Mrs. Martinez. We see it on a day-to-day basis. I've also had parents reach out and say, you know, are you telling, you know, what are you guys doing to, you know, educate these kids about that information? And I said, well, I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, we have a SHAC committee. We have ideas that we want to present to that committee, and we want to make sure that kids know what's going on. And we also want to give parents resources that they can find to help educate their students, you know? So it's kind of like a little bit of everything. But I like the lessons, they're short and to the point, and I'm bringing it to you for your consideration. Ms. Martinez, anything you want to add? Because I know you also have been a part of this program.
Yeah, we have been seeing, as the program mentions, it's suitable for grades 5 through 12, and we have had some fifth graders that have, you know, been caught using vapes and at school. Well.
At school, and also so, repeat offenders, yeah, at
that's
school.
That's why I wanted to interject as
yes.
a nurse. It is trickling lower and lower and lower, and as you know, when we were in school, it was cigarettes, and the education for cigarettes started really young. Mm-hmm. But vapes are much easier to hide when you're using than lighting up cigarettes. So younger and younger, it's happening. Kids pick it up, and it looks like a video game of some sort or something. And yeah, even at the intermediate school.
And they flavor them, so they taste good.
Yes, I was just going to say that. The flavors are a problem, and also the fact that the concentration of the liquid is much greater.
59 milligrams per minute. So that's two packs of cigarettes
yes.
in one of the pots.
Yes.
What does this program
cost? It's free.
Okay, so there are parts of it that are free.
I think to have access to some of the videos, you do have to pay for it, but I think it's a relatively cheap cost. I did have to purchase this. I want to say it was $45 for me to get access to it. And I think that they work with schools, you know, on that. But
that $45 purchase, does that allow you to have all the curriculum?
It allows me to look at everything. For my grades, 5 through 12. That was just for an individual. I did not purchase it for the school.
Funding support from CVS Health. So yes. I wonder if there's grant opportunities.
There could be.
For us.
I just wanted quick access because I wanted to be able to review the material, so I went ahead and purchased it for an individual for myself.
What are your thoughts on who would be introducing the curriculum to the students?
You know, I think there's a lot of different ways schools could do it. You know, whenever I was a junior high principal, I'm going to just say from that because that would be campus wide. I think as a junior high principal, you know, the ability to have the advisory program allows you an opportunity to be able to do programs to hit everyone. And really the one great thing about this particular program are the lessons are very short. There's 4 35-minute lessons. So that's not unrealistic in a school day, especially when you have an advisory program. In the high school and the junior high, Mr. Crenshaw brought that, you know, the advisory program to light, and I jumped on board a long time ago. And so, you know, both of those campuses do have access to that type of time. Now for the SDGC campus, we have time in our day that we could do this as well. Ms. Martinez does programs for our students kind of around the lunch hour because, you know, we have 10 or 15 minutes usually available during lunchtime that we can have conversations, but we can also block out non-core time to help, you know, present a program like this.
The kids that go to SD for consequences such as this, do they have to do anything in addition to their time at SD that says, like, I understand what I did and why it's
like
wrong?
Through court, like when they go to court for the minor session, yes.
The courts do things a little bit different than school. The courts do, I know I've heard things, I mean, there's different levels, obviously, with judges, and different judges do different things. But typically, you know, the judges might make them write a report about, you know, why they're doing this, you know, what do they know about it, that kind of thing. Some judges will give community service hours that they have to do in addition to their placement from a school placement. We do not require them to do anything outside of our school day because they are at a, you know, a disciplinary placement. So we don't force them to do community service. It is an option for them to do community service if it's their first offense for the year. If they've only been placed at SDGC for one, you know, for the first time in a school year, then they are able to do community service hours. Okay.
You mean like repeat offender. You said there was a kid 5 times. That's 5 MIPs by court.
Yes, ma'am.
5 times in SD, and they're still not.
Okay.
They're still not learning their lesson.
Well, you know, obviously things ramp up,
right,
which I don't want to get into that because I don't want to identify any student. But the bottom line is
consequence by the court.
It's a higher consequence across the board, yes.
Okay, just curious.
So I guess my question would be, what in this curriculum would change any of that person's behavior?
You know, so, I don't know.
I was thinking about that too. Mm-hmm. And probably when you get to a high school kid, I just frankly, it's really hard to reach them, yeah. Okay? But so that this is fifth grade, you know, I mean, you try your best with the high school kids, but really where this is really important is down in the lower grades, just like it used to be for cigarettes and drugs. You start then when they're still pliable and they don't have all this peer pressure, you know, as much. But I'll tell you, that peer pressure and all that is moving down, you know. Yeah. So I think it's, in answer to your question, high school kids are tough cookies to crack,
yeah.
And then what I believe is that they're becoming addicted, and then you're a repeat offender because you can't go from 8:30 to 3:30
without it.
You know, so So some education will help, but I think it'll help at the lower grades the most.
I mean, I like the program for all the grades, but I'm just curious as far as not even that one particular student, because I'm sure there's more, you know, that just any time there's an offense on campus and a child is in trouble for that, like, could this be a part of their thing that they have to complete this in ISS, this whole program?
Absolutely.
Prior to returning, like, so that they're not only getting a punishment of ISS, but they're also getting the education on the potential harm. Because I don't know how often these programs are done, like once a year, like your sex education or whatever, right. But then you miss some of them. And if you've got some that are doing it, maybe this could be
something
a part of the solution as well for those getting in trouble for it, that they need to repeat this.
I think
lessons.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, just to have the resource to be able to do that would be great. That would be something that we could definitely take to our, you know, our discipline committee and our, and talk and add that.
Did you have a question?
Great.
A teacher in the room with advisory.
Yes.
We're doing positivity stuff right now. And sometimes, and I know in the district I came from previously, a lot of these things were given to teachers to teach, and sometimes the kids aren't listening. Something that's this important, I don't think should just go through an advisory class. Maybe pull several advisory classes to an assembly about
this,
especially if it's being paid for, so they know, hey, this is really serious.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes, I don't know anybody, but sometimes that stuff doesn't happen in advisory. It doesn't get done.
It's as good as
and
he
I think
it.
I think the good
exactly
what,
and I'm not an expert on this, and I would want the kids to know it's a very serious thing. We're being pulled to an assembly for this.
Absolutely. And I think that what's good about the advisory is that it provides the time and the day to be able to do that.
Yes.
You know, where you're not taking it out of a core time, so you could have those assemblies, because at the beginning of the year we do have those kinds of assemblies to go over the handbook and the disciplinary, you know, procedures, the dress code, all of those things. And we make it a point to bring those kids to the cafeteria for those sessions. So I think that this could be one of those types of things.
And it's a different time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you.
There's like
four 35-minute lessons.
You could do it like in a month. You could go once a week.
Absolutely.
A certain amount of kids, some seventh, you know, some two sections of seventh, so you don't have all the kids, two sections of eighth, and do it.
Absolutely.
You know, during a month's worth of time. So it's
stays
fresh and it's a continuing thing.
Absolutely.
I'm going to chime in. You kind of said what I wanted to say. I'm a high school teacher. Mm-hmm. I don't know my advisory kids like I know all my other class periods. I do not teach one single student academically in that class at all. Mm-hmm. They are in there for about 30 minutes. Half the time, it's a pass out, pass out, pass out. And we've already had, I can tell you, as someone who's had to do the drug screen thing. There's a disconnect because they don't know you. I don't know them. An assembly would be better because it's like, we're all going to this and you're all going to listen to it. And maybe it's just four classes on this day and then it's another four classes.
Absolutely.
And I think basically that conversation,
really
once
to the principal,
the principal, once we decide here that that's good curriculum, then it's time
they can do what they need to
say that we've had these discussions here and talk to the principal about how to deliver it.
And you've got maths also, which is wonderful.
There's a lot of stuff going on every
okay,
day.
Okay, so yes, ma'am.
I have one more quick question. I know there's a cost affiliated with this. Has our district already allocated funds for anti-vaping programs?
So we have allocated funds. And I was going to comment on that, and it's a little off to the side here, but we've put vape detectors in at the high school, and it's a game changer. It's a game changer big time.
Are they only at the high school? They're not at the junior high?
Yes, but there's plans to put them in at the junior high. So there's safe and there's federal money that's called safe and drug free account. So there's money.
Okay. Are they in the nursing institution?
Why do you ask? I'm just kidding.
Maybe we'll cut down on some of that traffic.
And you just, when it's time, just talk to your principal. But they are catching on big time because it's a game changer at the high school, big time.
How do, and this is a little off subject, but how do you determine if it's nicotine or something else? Do y'all do that, or do you just turn it over and let them?
So it's completely off subject, but I don't mind speaking about it.
I don't know the difference.
I don't mind speaking about it. Would it be all right if I spoke, and I will, I'll address that just like what I believe when we're through with the shack meeting, and I'll tell you just as citizens what I think. Sure. But I don't want to do it during the shack meeting, but hold me accountable. Okay. I want to talk about that.
Earlier, when you said something about the potency of yes. what they're, yes. and then you said something was very important, and I didn't get to hear what you said.
It's not just tobacco that are in there. So you're thinking potency of, like he's saying, like, okay, that's two packs of cigarette and one mil, basically, or something like
that? It's 59 milligrams.
So I'll just go ahead and address it. Okay? I'm just going to go ahead and address it. When Texas legalized cannabis, hemp by definition is less than 1% THC. Okay? But if Cindy, I'm going to make you be in possession. Okay. If Cindy was in possession of a pound of this hemp, and I was in a possession of a pound of what would classify as marijuana, it has to be tested to be able to say, oh, what Cindy has is legal and what James has is not. And the state accidentally stressed the system when they did that. And now there's maybe 3 or 4 places in the whole state that can test that, and it's bogged down the system, and now it's very hard to get someone to test it and prove that it is what it is.
But isn't that intentional? To push through to the legalization?
I don't know. I won't, you know, conjecture on that at all. But I'm just telling you that in the current state that we're in, That's where it is. So we just have to...
That's the product. You're talking about testing the product.
Right.
Not, what about the student?
Well, you can... I'm an old high school principal, so you can get me talking about all kinds of stuff on accident, and I don't want to do that. But people who are under the influence display certain physiological things, right? Temperature changes, etc. There are programs that turn someone into what's called a drug recognition expert, DRE. Okay? And the DRE could go through a series of steps and say, well, based on my expertise, this person's under the influence. Okay? But there's very few DREs even in the police departments, you know. But what you need to know about Flower Bluff is we don't care about that. And we used Chapter 37, the disciplinary code, to set an example. And there's sections in the disciplinary code that says prohibited item. There are sections in there that say look-alike drug. So as much as somebody else has another way around things, we have a way around things, and we stick firmly to that's going to get you put in SDGC in Flower Bluff, and it doesn't in other places. So even though we wish you could test it, if you could test it and they did that, this would stop in a hurry because that's a felony. That's a felony, but you can't. So we're doing the best we can. So it's why it's important for, I'm going to segue back. It's why it's important for us to have some curriculum to really start when they're young before they're influenced by others.
And a lot of the vapes are labeled with nicotine. It says nicotine on them. And then there's certain brands that, like there's one called Kate Bar that is specifically a THC type vape. So most of them are pretty, they're labeled so we know exactly what they are. That helps out a lot. So most of the time, we at least know whether they're nicotine or whether they're THC-based. So that helps us. We just don't know what's in them because of the cartridges. Yeah. All the time.
But you go with that if it says yes, you mm-hmm. think it's THC.
Yes, and then we have our Flower Bluff, Flower Bluff ISD police come as well, and then they write their report.
Okay.
Make a motion, we do it.
So, unfortunately, because of the rules of SHAC, we can't entertain a motion this time on this curriculum. We have to entertain the motion next time. So what my hope is that I call you back in about a month and I say, we want a motion on this one. We get more information on Odyssey, and the counselors have brought me 10 more things for us to take a look at. That's the plan.
Do we have any other drug programs? Is there a thing anymore? Does anything else happen at the lower grades like it used to?
Project Turnaround is another one that we're trying to get out here because they do have some. They do have a vape prevention as well.
Oh, they came at the end of last year.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't. I was not involved with SHAC, so I don't know where we are with Project Turnaround. But if somebody wants Project Turnaround, it needs to come back through SHAC, so that we could have the discussions that we're having today. So.
But dare is not a thing anymore. Dare, no.
Yeah,
that's double dare now. That's where it stopped.
I really feel it was a really good program at the second and third graders.
You're me.
See, it worked. I graduated from Flower Bluff a long time ago, but my mom recently found my DARE folder with all my paperwork in it from the second grade.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's what we need to be doing now mm-hmm. with vapes.
Yes.
You know, that's just the facts.
Yeah, so the earlier the better.
We're giving up on high schoolers.
No.
No.
We're not. They're just hard. They're just really hard to crack.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hard to
crack.
You got to think, too. Cigarettes literally say, don't buy these. They will kill you.
And yes.
They still buy
and
them.
And they still do. Yeah.
So I think we're now down to getting a little bit of an update from the nurse. And I think she can tell us how sick we all are for sure. And then an update from nutrition, and then we're about to wrap up the agenda.
So from a health standpoint, COVID,
I could go right.
It seems like flu is super prominent. Yeah. We are back into a normal
thank you, Cindy.
Season. Tons of flu cases. What I actually wanted to talk about, though, is what our nurses are busy with doing right now. We are completing our state-mandated vision and hearing screenings. The first round of screenings will be complete at the end of this week. We are mandated to screen all pre-K, kinder, first, third, fifth, and seventh graders, and any student new to the district in any of those grade levels. So this year, probably about 2,600 screenings, and typically we'll refer anywhere from about 0.2 to 0.5% for hearing, and then about 0.6 to almost 1% for vision. We are required to follow up on these, send referrals, send follow-up referrals, offer assistance. So it's very time-consuming, and it has to be done for new students within the first 120 days of enrollment. So it's an ongoing process. We do our mass screenings here close to the start of the year. ECC waits a little bit so the babies can learn their letters and school routines and all those things. But that's what's happening in the nursing world.
Okay. Thank you. Gina.
So I just want to tell everybody, if you're not aware, we started the SEPR program. And it started on September 19th. And we're just trying to get the word out to everybody about the SEPR program. I don't know if any of y'all are aware of it. And we are offering it at all the schools. Right after school ends, the students are allowed to go into the cafeteria and get a meal. And we offer it to the Boys and Girls Club and any after-school programs. If there's a math club or Spanish club or whatever kind of extra curriculum they do, band, athletics, and we're trying to see what we can do to get those meals out to all the students. And if y'all have any suggestions or thing that you want to offer that would help us to get that out, we'd appreciate it. So.
And how late did you work?
We offer it at all the schools. When school ends, it's about going to be for 30 minutes. And then it's open also to the community. So if you have a child that's not a a student of Flower Bluff, they can, at 4:45, they can go to the high school. There's a side door, and they can go in there and they can get a meal.
Oh,
so
kids up to 18. Cool. Huh? Kids up to 18.
Yes.
They're not free though, right?
Are they? Yes, they are free. Free? Yes, ma'am.
Oh. It's free, and my daughter's activity takes advantage of it and has appreciated.
We appreciate it.
That's awesome.
I appreciate it as a mom. Yeah. She gets home late and she'll be like, "I already ate," and I'm like, whew.
Well, a lot of parents were concerned. They didn't want us to give them anything heavy. And so it really isn't a heavy meal, but it is filling. I've gotten it when I've stayed late, and it fills you up, and you're, you know, I don't eat supper when I get home, so when I have a board meeting or whatever, we get one. Yes, sir.
Is it a federally funded program?
Of course. All of the programs that we do in the nutrition department are, that we conduct, they're all, we are a federally funded program in everything we do.
Do the parents of the children have to submit any paperwork?
No.
Take advantage of? Okay.
No.
That's good.
Yeah. We're trying to make it, simplify it as much as possible for the students, because we are here for the students. They're our customers. Mm-hmm. We want to make them happy as much as we can.
Since we're no longer a free food district, I don't know how else you want to put it.
Yeah.
Will you guys no longer be offering the drive-through food for the holidays, or
so,
will you have?
Yeah, they kind of did away with that since COVID is kind of over, and they don't let us have those programs anymore, unfortunately. And we really liked it because everybody took advantage of it, and it increased our numbers.
Yeah.
But yeah. As of now. Yeah.
And this program, will it be active during the holidays?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're on school days.
Yes, we're only allowed to do it on school days.
Okay.
So that kind of gets us to the end of our agenda, unless anyone has comments or questions. I'd like to make a comment that I really do appreciate this committee and your dedication. I mean, when we're talking about these things, we're really talking about them. And that's good, you know. And so I just want to express my appreciation to the committee for hanging in there and doing the good work. So thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question, comment for nutrition. I had gone to the board meeting last month with concerns about the free breakfast programs that we give in the primary, elementary, and I guess 5th and 6th.
Yeah, we give, it's free from, ECC is on a federal program called the Community Eligibility Provision, and they get all of their meals free. Mm-hmm. And then we offer free breakfast for first grade up to sixth grade,
okay,
at the intermediate.
Yeah.
And so the point that we try to do with the breakfast is, and I know that it was kind of mentioned that we force the students to eat, but what we're asking them to do is to please take a meal so that we can count it, and then if they don't want to eat it, they can put it on the share table, and then someone else can take it. And so we're not forcing them to eat, we're just asking them to please take a meal. And what it does, it helps increase our reimbursement. And so we just need so much equipment. We're federally funded, and we need so many things. We have a line at the serving lines at the junior high, and we're thinking they're anywhere from 35 to 40 years old, and they need to be replaced.
Sure. I think so. My concerns that I had, and I was going to say kudos, one, because I talked to Dr. Youngberg last week, I guess, and she said that you guys are slicing the oranges now, which is great, right? Because
yeah,
it was very hard for them to peel them and eat
right,
them and stuff like that. So kudos to that. Thank you for doing that. My concerns were is that all the breakfasts are packaged. It seemed to be packaged, processed breakfasts, and not necessarily something that would powdered donuts and honey buns and things like that.
Right.
And so, and that was the concern from my standpoint, just having little kids that, I can feed them at home, right? And it doesn't matter if I feed them at home and then they go to school and they're offered a powdered donut, they're going to absolutely take that, right? So I had some concerns about the nutritional soundness of the breakfast that they were being given anyways. And then a six-year-old, my daughter's a first grader, she's just like, there's no way she's going to say no to whatever, right? And they're, but my fourth grader, it definitely, he's just like, Mom, if I don't want it, I don't want it, whatever. And they do put it on the share table. And the teachers appreciate the ability to then have a snack to give for the kids that don't have snacks, right? So I can see all of that. Mm-hmm. But then, so the oranges, that was, so the fresh fruit options that are given were difficult for that age group. Let's talk the first through fourth particularly, mm-hmm. right, from a losing teeth perspective, for them to access. And so cutting of the oranges, I think, was great. I was wondering if we couldn't do sliced apples, too. I mean, and when we did Thanksgiving lunch, I have to say, too, like, I think the Thanksgiving lunches were really, really good. Kudos to you guys on that. And it was fun, and I appreciated as a parent being able to come to that. But there was full apples, right? A whole apple there as, so you had the packaged fruits, right? Mm-hmm. And then the full apple, right? And I asked my son, I was like, well, how often do you get an apple? And he's like, Mom, I can't find it, okay. Right? And so I'm just wondering if slicing, and I get too, right, like spoilage and things like that, like the full apple stays longer yeah. than a sliced apple and things like that. But if we sliced some of those, if that wouldn't be, and you know, that's something that they would grab. I know that if I cut up fruit, my kids are more likely to eat it versus if I give them a whole piece of fruit. And some of fruit is better than none fruit, right? Right. So I'm wondering if that is an option or if that's a manpower, equipment power
thing. It probably, I'm going to be honest with you, it's sure. probably a manpower. And like, I'm going to tell you, like today, mm-hmm. we had 12 people out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. it hurts our department.
Sure.
It hurts our department. I have people asking for the whole week off before Thanksgiving.
Sure.
I have people asking Absolutely. For the week off before Christmas, and it does become a manpower yeah. issue. And I mean, I don't mind going out, but I do go out. I go out my whole office. We close down the office. Mm-hmm. We put a sign up and we go out.
Yeah. And are the fruit options that you guys purchase, like when it comes to like sliced apples, are you able to purchase the bag sliced
so
apples?
So that's what I was just going to say. We can look into purchasing. We do have applesauce, but we can look into purchasing. We always offer a canned fruit option. and we, of course, that is low sugar. We are looking at the sugar options that we're currently doing,
okay.
and we're going to work on that.
Okay.
But here's the thing, and this is what I said at the board meeting. You know, our customers are the students, and I understand what you're saying about yep. processed foods because I have a degree in nutrition, and guess what my kids eat?
Yeah.
You know, they don't drink. They drink water. They don't. They've never had sodas. They're 23 years old. If you take them somewhere, they won't eat it. And everything we do is we cook at home.
Right.
So I understand where you're coming right. from. The government kind of ties my hands because they offer us these items, but they have to be processed.
Mm-hmm.
Either processed or we get them raw. And when we cook meals for the students, like homemade meals,
mm-hmm.
they do nothing but complain. They don't like them.
I get it. So, and what I was saying at the board too is, it's very frustrating,
it's really
right? Because
hard.
I feel like too, like the free breakfast program is intended for those students that not necessarily that have the best nutrition at home, right?
Right?
And maybe don't understand or have a parent like yourself that's saying, hey, these are the better choices. So then they come to school and they're being shown that this is your breakfast, right?
Yeah.
This is what we eat
yeah.
for breakfast, and it's like, oh, that's so
we try to offer them. Different items that are like egg items, and we even do taquitos. We've done taquitos before, but they don't take that, and it's really
There's
hard.
There's a reason McDonald's is the most popular.
Yeah, and it's really hard. I've actually
Chicken
had
nuggets.
A pediatrician complain to me because, you know, we were trying to do things like that, and they just, she's like, my kids don't like that, and they don't want that, and I have to take them to McDonald's when I pick them up. And I'm like, okay. So, so I understand.
And I think, too, particularly looking at these younger ages, too. And so in looking, I would appreciate you guys, like you're saying, looking into some of the high-sugared
yes.
items, too.
Yes.
Because, I mean, and you know, I'm sure you get the feedback from the teachers, but, I mean, talk to the teachers. But after they've gotten the powdered donut, it's just like, you know, everybody in the classroom, you know.
It's like have a vape and calm down.
Oh, yeah. You know. So, and again,
I don't take it that way
at all.
I don't. We want to give the kids other options, but they won't take them.
So, any other comments?
I just had a question on the approved list of programs. I know you had sent that out at the beginning of the year, and we narrowed it down to just like what had been approved like in the last 5 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
the Purple Door is on there. Are we able to use them?
If we're going to use the Purple Door, I believe we need to bring them back to this committee before we do that.
Thank you.
Because there's enough community concern about the Purple Door, I think if we're going to do that, we need to bring them back through the committee.
Okay, and then you mentioned also that now agencies will have to do two presentations to the Shack.
No, they don't necessarily have to do two presentations to the Shack, but the Shack has to consider the item twice. Okay. So how I thought the best way to set that up is have them do a presentation. You know, and then if you guys have questions, we can funnel the questions back to them. And then the next time we come and we vote, you know, so that we're kind of trying to be as efficient as possible. Okay. with everybody's time.
And then I think somewhere it was mentioned that after all that process, then the school board still has to.
That's
decide.
Correct. That's okay. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I feel a sense of urgency to get some things through. You know, once we get kind of on top of this, then it's a matter of maintenance and those kind of things. And I think, you know, by next year we'll hopefully have some good materials. And then it's a matter of just talking about a few items at a time. But really, the law changed. So it's always been that the Shack committee had to approve this sex ed. Always is probably not a very good word, but for a long time it's been that way. Well, this is the very first year where it's required for these other four areas, you know, child abuse, human trafficking, and those things. So now that it's required, I mean, and another thing that's true is they changed the formation of the Shack. And board members appoint at least five members of the Shack committee. All of these are new rules this year. So it's going to take us a few meetings to get on top of everything and get the materials. And I'll tell you this, as a Shack member, if you're out there reading up about materials, I mean, you can talk about a material if you want and bring it, you know. I mean, we really need materials on those things. And my thinking is... there's lots and lots of materials that Texas Education Agency has already listed as good materials and et cetera, you know, so you try to stick kind of close to home on those materials.
Sorry, what are the four areas?
I thought I could fake it because I only said two, okay? Yeah, thank you, ma'am.
Oh,
here we go.
I have it. It's child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking.
Okay.
Perfect. You, that was right on the tip of my tongue, Ms. Fuller. Thank you. So, about an hour and 10 minutes. I really want to try to keep these meetings to the hour 10, hour 15 to honor everybody's time. And I really do appreciate you. If there's no other discussion, we could entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion we adjourn.
You got a second? All in favor? I'm not a voting member, but I'm in favor too.
So. Thank you.
No one.